Welcome to the CRE Exchange podcast, where we deep dive into the global trends and challenges of professionals across all sectors of the commercial real estate industry. We engage with experts in this space to bring you innovative insights into industry practices, opportunities, and challenges to better inform your decisions. This episode is brought to you by Altus Group, a leading provider of CRE intelligence. We connect data, analytics, applications, and expertise to power CRE performance.
Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of the CRE Exchange. I'm Omar El-Tarai, your host and director of research at Altus Group, a leading provider of commercial real estate intelligence. With elevated levels of distress and refinancing risk, changes in lender and bond investor appetite, and shifts in the regulatory landscape, the CRE securitization market is anything but static. And to help us get a clearer picture of the U.S. CRE securitization and broader CRE debt landscape, we have a special guest today, Andrew Foster. Andrew will help us break down the key trends in issuance, performance, and sector demand, and what professionals should be preparing for in the quarters ahead. Andrew Foster is a senior director on the business development team at KBRA, where he covers all commercial aspects of CMBS. Prior to joining KBRA in 2022, Andrew was at the Mortgage Bankers Association, where he covered policy and strategic industry engagement. He has over 18 years of experience in CMBS, including leadership roles in servicer evaluations, surveillance, and loan workouts. He is a designated counselor of real estate and serves as co-publisher for the Real Estate Issues, its peer-reviewed journal. He also serves as a member of the CRE Finance Council's Advocacy Committee. Andrew, thank you so much for being on the CRE Exchange with us today.
Thanks, Omar. It's such a privilege to be with you.
Can you tell us a little bit about KBRA and your role there, and maybe what your objectives are and how you go about solving for those?
Yeah, so Kroll Bond Rating Agency will next year be celebrating its 15th anniversary. It was a startup in our SRO in an established field founded by Jules Kroll. And the organization was really built after a historic downturn with a foundation of thoughtful, trustworthy, and forward-looking credit ratings and research. Our team has been built and is filled with people that focus on credit in their careers across public finance, corporate, sovereign ratings, project finance and infrastructure, REITs, financial institutions, all the structured finance asset classes, including CMBS, as well as funds. Across all those different asset classes within the U.S. and Europe, we're known for approaching new asset classes and established asset classes with a nuanced approach, with a forward-looking through-the-cycle credit rating that issuers and investors can count on. I'm focused on all the commercial aspects of CMBS. I'm focused on staying in front of and top of mind for issuers and bankers, trying to learn about their businesses, the challenges that they face, getting feedback on how we're doing. A lot of times it ends up being a process of looking at prospective transactions and talking to prospects about whether or not KBRA's methodology is appropriate.
Fantastic. So let's turn attention to the current market, because I would love to hear your breakdown in terms of some of the key trends that you're seeing across issuance, ratings, any loan performance. What are you watching?
Yeah, so in terms of issuance, I think clearly it was a very strong first half of the year, stronger first quarter than second. But I think even in the second quarter, with some of the concerns and uncertainty around tariffs, et cetera, the market performed very resilient. So I think issuance, whether it's SASB, which is very strong, or conduit or agency, you've seen it active. There has been resiliency in terms of issuance. And that's leaving out CRE CLOs, which have grown tremendously. Clearly on the rating side, there's been a period and continues to be a situation where downgrades are outpacing upgrades. We've certainly seen that in KBRA's rated book. And loan performance has been a challenge. And that's the market environment that we've been operating in. And it is important context to say how much interest rates have risen over the past couple of years has been quite a test. So that's something our surveillance and our analytical team is very focused on from a ratings perspective. And in a broader conversation, the CMBS industry seeing losses on a AAA bond, which has occurred, is an unacceptable standard, and it needs to be a focus to continue learning from experience and ensuring that ratings are appropriate and that they are sustainable. And I would tell you, KBRA is highly focused on ensuring our rating stability. When we look at, and we regularly look at, our rated book, our AAA rating stability ratio is above 99%. What's been interesting on the CRE CLO front is, even though there was a lot of doom and gloom and challenges around delinquencies and loans being bought out of CRE CLOs and clear challenges around many multifamily borrowers who had bought at a peak that we knew was a price peak in hindsight, what you've really had is a lot of those situations play out on the legacy side with investors being made whole, with transactions being collapsed and investors making out good on those transactions. So that's an area where our ratings have been extremely stable and the product has performed quite well despite a lot of noise and a lot of challenges, admittedly. So I think that that's an interesting trend and a story that doesn't get told quite as often.
And looking at bond investor appetite, are there any key kind of characteristics of deals that are clearly drawing more bond investor appetite? Or you can take the flip of that question and just areas that bond investors don't want to touch?
Yeah. So I think that one thing I would point to in terms of investor appetite is that not just this year, but you're seeing this year, SASB transactions are increasing in size. You're seeing on the flip side, conduit transactions have shrunk. And so there is this clear appetite for SASB. That's not to say there haven't been conduit transactions or others that are oversubscribed. I mentioned the dynamics around the CRE CLO market, and there has certainly been investor appetite that has brought back that product as well. I think that the other thing that you might observe in pools and that's shifted, which maybe is not investor appetite that wasn't there before, is that I think you've seen more multifamily in conduit transactions. But I think broadly speaking across the securitization markets, you've seen one shift has been an increasing appetite and willingness to accept exposure to office. And that's led to a massive increase in the amount of office, strong in the market and strong markets and strong product being securitized in SASB transactions this year, as well as fourth quarter 2024.
One area that I think is a clear theme through 25 is the interest in pretty much like private credit, non-bank lending being a key area that we've seen a lot of asset managers and investment managers commit to, raise funds for. Would you say that that's a competitor to the securitization market, or is it predominantly focused on and likely going to take bank share?
Yeah, so it depends on how we're using terms here. But if I'm talking about private capital and non-bank lending, I think about that differently simply because when I think about private credit, I'm really focused on corporate and a lot more than real estate. But just thinking about things like debt funds and mortgage REITs and these types of players, there has been a tremendous amount of growth in this area and focus in this area in commercial real estate. I think there remains room for that to grow as part of the market. But I would raise a question with the premise around the competition with banks and market share. And I'll give you an example of private capital. Maybe it's out there and making bridge loans. And what does that look like? It may look like when that lender aggregates enough of those loans, they tap the securitization market and issue a CRE CLO. And so it ends up being not just private capital, but also part of the securitization engine. And maybe if that's not the right execution, then it's getting a warehouse line from a bank or an insurance company providing a facility. So I think in recent years, there's been more of a blurring of the lines between the different sources of capital and collaboration within them. And so you are right to some extent that the amount of deals coming from bank balance sheet as opposed to this private capital may change the market share dynamics, but there's also banks involved in this new process and others as well. And so I think the other entry point around that conversation is certainly some of the insurance companies and mortgage REITs and kind of private equity that have found more ways to work together in recent years. So it is an interesting trend and continues to be. And I think it's certainly been playing out over a number of years and continues to as banks have had less of the share of the overall pie for commercial real estate lending.
One of the other kind of major themes of 25 has been regulatory and policy changes, whether it's announced or what actually becomes final. Which of these kind of changes do you think have the biggest impact on CRE and CRE financing?
Yeah, I think there's just so many, so it's hard to pick. Where I'm focused on lately is certainly the impact of the bill that was just passed and what that means for commercial real estate in the immediate term and long term. And I think the other thing that, you know, it's been a waiting game of many months at this point is just watching what happens with the Federal Reserve interest rates and not only near-term decisions about changes to the policy rate, but also just the larger questions that are being raised right now about the Federal Reserve and its role and remaining apolitical. So I think those are some interesting parts of the policy landscape that I'm aware of, but certainly many more that's not spoken to.
Are you looking at or following the conversation around the privatization or potential privatization of the GSEs?
Absolutely. Enjoy listening to the talking heads and the conversations around the potential privatization there. I say too much about that, given there's so many people in the business that are smarter than me focused on that. But what I could say about the GSEs and any sort of reform that does or might happen within those organizations, how they operate and the rules of the road are really important to so many different market participants. And I feel that coming from the CMBS side, a lot of the ink and the ideas and the negotiations that are going to happen around that whenever it does happen will be and will rightly be focused on the single family side and the residential side of the business. And I think because of that, and because KBRA is not just active in CMBS, but also a leader in RMBS and other asset classes, we're keenly focused on following that, on following the implications of any of those developments and their business model and shifts in how they operate are certainly going to create costs, benefits, waves of opportunity for market participants and people across the country. So I think very important debate and discussion and series of policy decisions, but really just watching it and not clear how long we'll be watching it.
Yeah, I didn't mean that to be a trick question because it's a tough one to react to. We've been talking about like national policy measures, but there's this growing conversation or you are starting to see local policies change, particularly around rent control and rent reform. Is that something that you monitor at all or are considering when you're looking at different deals? And are you staying up to date on those more localized changes?
Yeah, I think rent control across different jurisdictions is definitely something that is not new, but it continues to rear its head. And it's not the country's not newly experimenting with this. There's been some cycles of it. But yes, closely watching that. I live in Montgomery County, Maryland, so I've watched it in my own backyard. And it is a situation that seems at this point to continue up in different contexts. And I think the economists and our industry have definitely paid attention to this and looked at the dynamics and studied it ad nauseum and feel the ship has sailed in terms of what it actually does versus what it attempts to do. But yeah, watching it closely as it continues to come up in places like New York, like Minnesota, Maryland and others. So yeah, it seems to continue to be with us as long as the affordability challenges that many are facing are with us. So definitely watching that closely, and it certainly can have dramatic impact on performance and market dynamics.
And now shifting attention to your kind of like forward look, what are you paying attention to most through the second half of 25 and into 26?
Well, you know, the market's been in a holding pattern for some time now with a slow process of price discovery, lower transaction volume. So we'll all continue to watch the Fed and whether or not there's any relief in that regard. But without knowing what's going to happen, I do expect that in the coming months and the coming year, the market is going to continue to come to terms perhaps with the idea that rates are not necessarily high right now. So whatever that looks like and sort of the noise around it and how we get there, looking back historically about where rates have been over a longer cycle than say 10 years or whatever it may be, feels like that may be where we are headed to me. So I'm paying attention to how that plays out. Obviously, we don't know what's going to happen, but I think market participants shifting reaction to that reality, should it transpire, will drive a lot of decision making and ultimately resolution dynamics for a lot of the challenged loans that we discussed earlier in the hour.
And is there anything that gives you, that particularly gives you optimism about the future of CRE finance?
Yeah, I would say that even when you look at and say that the delinquency rate is increasing and there's lots of challenges, and look at some of the multifamily owners that are having issues or office properties that may be challenged, what I'm optimistic about is in this environment where a lot of financing has gone from a very low coupon to what seems like a very high coupon on a relative basis, most of the property types that make up commercial real estate have been very resilient. There's so many property types we're not talking about. And so I think that resiliency and the fact that it's a diverse market that actually is performing quite well gives me a lot of optimism. And I think that I have a story and a narrative that may not be simple enough for many to lead with. But for me, I think that's exciting, and it's exciting for CMBS, but also commercial real estate broadly.
And one area we've seen some adaptation around is getting CMBS execution for data centers. But I've also seen it where it's actually ABS securitization. Do you have a view on that? Are data centers, do they fit into one of those buckets?
Yeah, so we published some research on this recently as well. And our analytical team looked at all the data center financing transactions that we've seen in recent years and really looked at, number one, what are some of the characteristics of the transactions that are being done via an ABS execution versus a CMBS execution? And a couple points I would share with you. One, looking back over the last few years, there's clearly been more activity coming up in the ABS area than CMBS. And I think you see different types of rent rolls, different types of collateral finding their way to one or the other. But in the last 12 months, you've seen more and some larger deals going the way of CMBS. The other thing that I would say to you is that we've also seen some of these transactions be rated out of our project finance and infrastructure group. So it's really a new area. It's a new asset class. So I think that's exciting and a good opportunity for real estate to grow, provide a different service to a different demand generator within the economy. But it is a situation where when you're looking at a new asset class, you can't go back and understand the history of what's gone wrong and what some of the risks are. So looking at that clear-eyed and thinking about things like technology obsolescence or outs and leases and what kind of dynamics go along with the credit with these transactions. So that's definitely an exciting new area and one where seems like whether it's ABS, CBS, or balance sheet project finance infrastructure executions, a lot of opportunity there, and seems like we'll continue to see a lot of growth in the area.
And data centers have really come to the fore with all the excitement around AI and applications, or the expectations and hope that the applications of the technology will be broadly applied. Do you have any views on how you think AI and all the technology that comes with it could benefit the CRE financing industry?
Yeah, like all of us, I'm watching with excitement and various emotions as AI begins to take hold and find its way into our lives and our companies and our work streams. And I am really just amazed and impressed by what I think is, to some extent, anecdotal evidence around the ability to underwrite an acquisition or analyze data, and just the different use cases that I'm seeing just from different parts of the industry. It is changing really fast, but we don't really know where we're going to be necessarily. So it's fun and exciting. And I think I'm looking forward to seeing how this can augment and elevate a company's competitive advantage, the service that it provides, operate more efficiently. I think it's a good time to be someone who's adaptable and a lifelong learner, to be sure.
And is there one thing that you wish more people understood about the securitization market, or CMBS in particular, and its broader role on the economy?
So CMBS is a technology, when appropriately used, it's increasing the supply of liquidity and stability for commercial real estate owners across the country. So I think that's a really valuable resource that contributes to the economy, and it can help some of the largest owners in the country, and it can help borrowers taking out a $5, $10, or $25 million loan as well. Right now, in this instance, over the last 18 months, the markets are experiencing the benefits of securitization products at a time when banks have lessened appetite for commercial real estate exposure on their balance sheet. And so it plays an important role alongside other groups within the debt markets, whether it be insurance companies, banks, the GSEs, or funds and private capital, as you mentioned. So I think, in my perspective, that's what's important about CMBS. That's why our ratings are important. And I think that's my story and what I think people ought to know about CMBS.
Fantastic. And we like to ask all our guests the same question. So if you could snap your fingers and have any change to the industry come true, what would that be?
I would say, tell you, more diversity in the leadership ranks of organizations that own, that buy, that sell, that lease or finance commercial real estate. And that could be more women at the table, in boardrooms or in C-suites, or pick another category, seen or unseen. Or you can have additional capacities and perspectives brought to bear on the industry's issues that it faces. So there are a lot of people and leaders that I look up to who have and continue to move the industry in this direction. But if I had the chance to ask a genie, I think I would probably ask him to speed it up for all of our benefits.
Phenomenal answer. Before we close out, Andrew, if people wanted to follow you, how can they follow you?
You can find me at kbra.com and follow all our activities. But I would share with people, if you want to know what I'm up to, I'm actively supporting the Real Estate Issues trade journal that you referenced earlier in our conversation. So I would say subscribe to Real Estate Issues and you will find some of my writing there, but you'll also find a lot of things that I've edited and tried to bring in the door that I think are great things to learn about and be aware of in the real estate industry.
Fantastic. Andrew, thank you so much for being with us. I think that's all the time we have, but thank you for joining, and thank you to our listeners for tuning in. And take care until the next episode of CRE Exchange.
Thank you for listening to the CRE Exchange podcast. This episode is brought to you by Altus Group, a leading provider of CRE intelligence. We connect data, analytics, applications, and expertise to power CRE performance. We are guided by bold thinking, integrity, and inclusivity, partnering with CRE professionals to maximize opportunities with exceptional service experience. Find out more at altusgroup.com.